This show is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. OffWorldDesigns.com is the place where you can find the nerdiest t-shirts and more at prices that won't break the bank. OffWorldDesigns.com offers shirts from all fandoms and hobbies, and even some other pretty cool stuff like messenger bags that can hold your plus one sort of awesome and so much more. You can use promo code GEEKSRULE to get 10% off your entire order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey, 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 what is going on here? That's right, guys. It's This Week in Geek's topic show for the month of September in October, because the dog ate my homework. I was coming back to the game from Valley, and then I stopped at the Max, and well, you know how it goes. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not alone as we trek through Bayside High this week. I am joined by my ever-lovable co-host,
Andrew Randrew Roebuck?
Yes! And we introduce a new transfer student here at Bayside. We introduce the person who is pretty much a person who I'm coming to work with a lot, thanks to Niagara College, actually. I'd like to introduce
Maisie Bones.
Woo! So, yes, Maisie, for those of you that don't know, she is working at Niagara College, and she is in charge of the... How do I say this, Maisie? Help me out here.
Well, I prefer to call it the NGNC, the Nerds and Geeks of Niagara College. We're right now changing to the NGN, though, so that we can expand just to the whole Niagara region, because we're getting a little bit too big for the college boots.
I love how everyone just dropped the ball on that one. Everyone has nerves tonight. So yes, Nerds and Geeks of Niagara. This is something you guys may have heard about on the Nerd News Network. I actively been promoting their Indiegogo, which, how many, are there any more days left in that?
I think we have about 18 days left. We're about 82% to our goal, which is awesome. Way more than I expected.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very glad that Niagara College is still very much a geek and nerd-friendly college campus, and basically school more or less in general, unless you're in the broadcasting program. I myself was able to contribute, I think, about 100 or 200 bucks to the cause, so definitely glad that they are getting the support they needed. So guys, if you want to find out more information, there will be a link in this episode post, so I invite you to all check that out. Now, speaking of housekeeping announcements before we get any further into the show. I am doing my event for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital beginning on October 24th at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I will be live streaming the entire time from Friday night until Sunday at noon. I will be raising money for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital. Like I said, 100% of all money raised goes directly to the hospital and to help kids get games in their hands or other important resources that will help them be a little less afraid of what could possibly be happening tomorrow. So if you want to find out more information about that, you can visit extralife.com, I think, or go to my direct link, which is birdmangivesback.com. It's 100% secure, so cash, check, credit card, PayPal, whatever. It's all accepted. So, for the month of September, in October, we're going to be talking about the Saved by the Bell franchise. This is a topic I've wanted to cover for a couple of years now. In fact, as of this recording, this is episode 125. We will be on the air 8 years next month. Or not next month, in January.
Hi, Chihuahua.
Holy crap, I can't believe I've been talking about nerdy stuff for this long. And it's a topic that we've never quite visited. I mean, we've kind of skirted around it, but never took a real analysis at it till just this moment. So that's why I've invited Maisie on the show. Me and Andrew are huge fans of the franchise, so I figure it's about that time. But before we go any further, I'd like to thank our wonderful sponsors of offworlddesigns.com, where I think if you use promo code GeeksRule, you get 10% off your entire order. That's awesome. Also, people like BigAndTallMart.com, who supply most of my threads, because I am a chunky bastard. And also SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and GameAccess.ca, which will be relaunching very soon to improve their service to you as Canada's number one online video game rental service. So, with that being said, let's go to Just the Facts. On August 20th, 1989, as the 80s was preparing to leave us forever, it gave us the beginning of one of the most important TV sitcoms of our time. Zach Morris, Screech, and the crew of Bayside High School entered the public consciousness with the runaway success that was Saved by the Bell. Originally airing 4 seasons, the TV series focused on a variety of comedic and serious topics. Social issues like drug use, divorce, and homelessness were all covered in varying degrees. The show created the popular sitcom notion of pausing an event to allow the main character to explain their true view on the situation and to offer their own amusing commentary. Little known fact is the show actually began on the Disney Network under the title Good Morning Miss Bliss, originally intending for the character of Miss Bliss, a teacher, to be the main focus. Disney trashed the show after about 13 episodes and NBC picked it up, changing the title and the direction of the show. The Good Morning Miss Bliss episodes were actually added into the main Saved by the Bell airings in Season 2, but were re-edited with the new Zach Morris introductions and were given more of a Saved by the Bell plot structure. After the series ended with a graduation episode, NBC immediately went into Saved by the Bell The College Years, but it only lasted a season due to poor ratings, and frankly, it kind of sucked. The series was rebooted yet again with Saved by the Bell The New Class, which featured a new cast of characters with only Principal Belding and Screech returning from the original show. This new incarnation lasted a whopping 7 seasons, ending its run in the 2000s. For some mysterious reason, 2014 has been a revitalization of sorts for the Saved by the Bell franchise. A comic book version of the series by Roar Comics was released, although it was quickly canceled due to low sales. And a TV movie based off the behind-the-scenes of the show was released by Lifetime on Labor Day of this year. The film was based on the tell-all book written by Screech Powers himself, Dustin Diamond. It insinuated that all the cast except Squeaky Clean, Dustin Diamond were all sleeping together and dabbling in a variety of drugs. Adding more intrigue to the book and the movie, Dustin himself claimed that the novel was ghostwritten and much of the allegations in the book were fabricated by said writer. The legacy of Saved by the Bell will no doubt be a defining pop culture moment for years to come. And so before the bell rings, you better get yourself to class. Go Bayside!
Well, that was an interesting Just the Facts, catching us up all about the crazy, surprisingly crazy history of the Saved by the Bell franchise. There's a lot of things in there that I just didn't know existed. Like a comic book? Like when, and it was such from like an obscure publisher too. It just, such weird things are dwelled out of a short TV show.
Well, it kind of baffles me just the fact that this franchise is working on, how old is this franchise now? Like 1989 to now. Like how many years is that? Because I suck at math. That's why I'm asking. 2014 minus, I'm doing the math. Please don't judge me, people. I'm sorry. 25 years. That's a quarter of a century. That's nuts.
Oh, God. A quarter of a century. That's just weird.
I know. Now, Andrew, what year were you born?
92.
Say, 90. Okay, so this show is older than you. Oh my god.
Yes, I know. I'm a useless young person.
But this is one of those shows that even for your guys' kind of childhood, it's a part of it.
Oh man, I watched this like most of my memories for this show, until like I just started crazily rewatching it, was basically from like Saturday morning TV, where I'd just be like, hey, this is the only thing on at 3 a.m. when I should actually be asleep right now, but I can't because I'm young and we don't sleep when we're young. And it was just like a weird memory of watching Saved by the Bell a stupid amount. And like now that I watch it, I'm glad I took none of my morals from the show, because this show is a moral vacuum anyway.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Maisie,
Oh, man.
Where does this show start with you?
I think my first memory of Saved by the Bell has to be like every single morning of my elementary school like career, if you want to call it that. Like every single morning while getting ready for school, it was always on the TV for my family. So that's probably it. Or those like really early Saturday mornings at like 5 o'clock in the morning when you couldn't get back to sleep. That's basically my every morning. If it was still on today, I'd probably be watching it.
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that there aren't any stations right now rerunning. But now, supposedly, there are some local syndications showing this. I think the E! Network and MTV2 might be showing it, but I didn't
look. It shows it really late at night.
Which is a really odd time.
Yeah.
And technically, I think all of the episodes are on YouTube as well. Someone bothered to upload them all there.
And although it's weird, though, now you can view this series on Netflix, but not in Canada.
Oh, really?
Not in Canada. You can view it in the U.S., although some episodes are missing.
Man, those DVD sets, they're messed. Has anybody like bought the DVD sets for the show?
I haven't.
Okay, well, I bought seasons 3 and 4 because I love Twig. But none of the episodes are A, in order, and B, even from the right seasons. There are episodes from season 2 in the season 3 and 4 box set. And, like, watching through the episodes, you can tell, like, the first disc will have an episode from season 4, and the last disc will have an episode from the end of season 3. And if you had been watching it in order, you'd be like, wait, none of this makes sense. Who's dating who? Why do they suddenly look younger? Benjamin Button disease? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's so weird, though, and I don't know why companies can't get it right, because another series that I think did this, too, specifically when they put out their full series on DVD and they completely screwed up the broadcast order when they put it on disc, was the Ninja Turtles original series by Fred Wolf. There were so many different releases spread across so many different volumes. You get, I think at one point, they have episodes from season 4 on the season 10 DVDs. And it was ones
what?
That, yeah, it's weird. And they were episodes that were exclusive to Europe, where they went on vacation. It's really, really weird. There's actually a video on Cinemassacre. It's a couple years out of date, but it gives you a really good idea on how badly they botched that. And another one, I watched this on, I think the channel's called Retro Blasting on YouTube. Fantastic channel. Completely recommend them. They do something talking about the Super Friends, and that's a really horrible Justice League era cartoon.
Oh man, the Super, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Technically, everything now from the Super Friends is on like DVD, but it's like in weird like part ones, which is really part threes of like weird things, like,
or things will be slightly retitled, which will be really, really, really confusing. So, so my experience with Saved by the Bell, I didn't watch this in its initial run, kind of. Up here in southern Ontario, which is where This Week in Geek is actually located, there was a broadcaster called Global, and there still is. And Global Television, or CanWest, if you will, used to have afternoon programming. And this was a big thing back in the early 90s to about the mid-90s, give or take. And I remember watching Saved by the Bell after school, or I would see it weekday mornings at 7:30 to 8 o'clock, and then it was usually Power Rangers until like 8:30 or something, and then it was Care Bears at 7. And I just remember watching a lot of the show on there, and it just became one of those ingrained things in my life, where I'm actually pretty sure of the 126 episodes that aired and the 2 TV movies, I'm probably sure I've seen about 95% of them. which is kind of astounding. Now, over the last week and a half since we were kind of prepping for the show, since late September to now, I've been on a watching binge. And as you heard out of Just the Facts, that really non-committal, weird music sting they do when they go to commercial, I've heard that so many times, I hear it in my sleep now. And that, da-na-na-na, like, it means nothing. I hate it. But this was a show that I very much grew up on, and I very much expected, this is what I thought my high school life was going to be like. And...
No,
man, was I wrong. Yeah, no consequences, which one of the fun things
like the episode where they find like $5,000 and at the end they find out they're on a TV show, so there's no consequences of them like stealing money.
Oh man, this is one of those franchises where I love to look at it through what I like to call the lens of reality. And the lens of reality, as I determined from this, how many times would Zach be arrested for committing felonies? There's one episode I was watching, and tell me if you guys remember this one. Kelly has to decide who she wants to take to the dance, Slater or Zach. Man, Canadian high schools were not like this at all. So anyway, they're trying to decide who she wants to take, and they find out the girls are having a sleepover over at Jesse's house. Now, Zach lives pretty much, like, you could throw a baseball from his house to Jesse's house based upon the assumed geography of the Palisades where this series takes place in California. So at one point, him and Screech take a reel-to-reel tape recorder, run a microphone into Jesse's room, hide it under, like, her bed, and listen into all these random girls talking about who they like. It's Lisa, Jesse, Kelly, and two random red shirts whose names I completely forget.
Horribly die at the end of the episode.
Exactly. Ensign Finger in the Socket and Lieutenant Bullseye. So, So anyway, they're sitting there talking, and Jesse notices this microphone under the bed. So she covers it up with a pillow, and she's like, "They're spying on us, guys. This is wrong." I'm thinking, no, that is a felony right there. You could send Zach to jail. I don't care how innocent a quote-unquote prank it is. And then another time, there's another episode where Zach and Screech, they take the school camera, I'd like to point this out, the school's camera for yearbook, go into the girls' locker room and take pictures of them in their swimsuits for the girls of Bayside when Zach convinces Belding to take over the school store because it's run by nerds and they sell weird crap. So he
Yeah,
just...
well, that's a... Sorry. I'm gonna launch to another story. There's also the episode where they make fake IDs and they incidentally make some college girl become a pedophile by
statutory rape.
Yep, statutory rape.
Who says it can't be hilarious? Or there's
and
enough.
Like the only, and the mom's not even that mad. Like at the end of the episode, the mom comes in and she's like, "Oh, you guys won't be back here for 2 years." But, like, she's not even like, "You're grounded," or "I can't believe you did this." It's just, "Yeah, you can't come here yet." Like, that was the consequence.
Yeah, like, here's just a bit slap on the wrist, and that's about it. There is another one I was watching last night where Screech and Zach develop a zit cream. And, of course, it's homecoming. So it dyes everyone's faces maroon. And they're like, "Oh my god, it's only temporary." I'm like, okay, that is a violent skin reaction. You should probably go to the hospital.
You know, I don't think Screech can be blamed for anything because I'm pretty sure he may be handicapped.
Well, that's another...
It's really hard to laugh at Screech jokes because I'm like, wait, he might have problems. Like, he might need help. And like, and there's that one. What's the African American girl's name?
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Turtle.
Lisa Turtle is just the biggest dick to him. Like, she's just so rude every time. Like, he's like, "Oh, I don't understand this simple concept." "Well, that's because you're an idiot, Screech." I'm like, well, maybe he just has some problems. Like, I don't know. Maybe help him with his problems instead of being such a dick.
Well, actually, there. You know, I think this is a great point for our first discussion point with this, is looking at the dynamics of this group of friends. And this is a and I actually don't think it's terrible to call this, I don't know whether you could actually call these people friends. And here's what I mean by that. And I'm really glad you brought up the Lisa Screech dynamic, because Dustin Diamond, who plays the character of Samuel Screech Powers, is very much in love with Lark Voorhees' Lisa Turtle. And I've watched about 30 episodes in the last couple of days. Lisa is an unrepentant bitch to him and only ever apologizes when he is useful to her. And it's kind of funny about that. The fact that he puts up with this constant abuse, and I know it's supposed to be a comedic thing and it's played for laughs and everything, and it's very much a caricature, but they try and insert some real life drama and some serious issues, as we mentioned during Just the Facts here. And the fact that she walks all over him, and like you said, he might have a problem. Now, you and I, Andrew, we know a few people who have mild forms of autism or Asperger's or whatever, basically social or not mental conditions which contribute to a lack of sociability. And our very good friend Dave Dennis has that. He doesn't understand social cues all the time. So you think of Screech under that kind of pretense, does he have something like, say, Asperger's or high-functioning autism? And for Lisa to be that much of a bitch to him, that's not helping him.
Oh, yeah. Not at all. Like, it's, if anything, it's just, like, hindering Screech's life. Now, I have an interesting point to bring up. Like, would you have been friends with any of these people in high school? Like, think about that. Every time somebody with even remotely that has our interest shows up, like, it's the worst portrayal of a nerd ever. Like, I don't think I've seen a less geek-friendly show. Like, these are the kids who would beat me up in high school had I been there at Bayside.
Yeah. You know what? This is, like, pre-Big Bang Theory nerd blackface.
Yeah, I was like, well, I can't be as harsh on Big Bang Theory anymore because I've seen this. Like, I forgot, like, just how blatantly awful it was.
Yeah, like, if this show... Like,
Or there's this point where there's a kid who is a little bit chunkier in the show.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And they want to go on a field trip. They're talking about field trip plans. And the kid's like, hey, I want to go to the Hostess shop. You know, there could be some good Twinkies. Sounds like a good time. And then Zach Morris pats his stomach and says, fat chance, fatty. And it's like, well, screw you, Zach Morris. I hate you so much.
Like, there is one episode, and I'm really glad you kind of mentioned the whole kind of fat person thing. As you guys know, large and in charge. And there is one there's one episode where Bayside needs to raise money for new cheerleader uniforms. There isn't any money in the school budget. So I think it's Kelly and Lisa decide to hold some kind of a date auction, right? Like, auction off, like, win a date with AC Slater, pay $10 or whatever. So they do this. Zach, obviously, as good-looking white boy, gets the most money raised. And there are these two girls competing over him, and this one bigger woman named Wendy comes out of the crowd and bids, like, $125.
Oh, God, it's one of those episodes, but it's like a fat person negative thing?
Yeah, and at Ugh. One... So she wins the date with Zach, and Zach's like, well, I'm not going with her. I want to go with Kelly. I'm thinking, all right. So they meet up on the floor after he wins it, and she's like, oh, I'm so excited. We'll go to the dance. Maybe we'll go to the Max for something to eat, either before or afterwards. And almost every phrase she says is related to food in some way. Like, okay, I get it, you're fat. Really? Can you drive that home, that point home any further? And eventually, Zach runs into this Wendy girl at the Max later on, and he's having lunch with this other skinny girl. And she walks up and goes, hi, Zach, I'm really excited, and steals, like, a fry or something. And I don't know, he starts giving her this excuse how it's an old track injury and he can't dance and he doesn't want to go and all this other crap. And she's like, well, what can we do? Like, you know, so she's trying to make the best of a bad situation. And eventually, near the climax of the episode, she decides, you know what, it's pretty clear you don't want to go with me, you don't like me because I don't look like Kelly or these other skinny girls, it's fine, I don't want to go with you anyway. And of course, Zach has the epiphany, where he decides, maybe I should just accept people for how they are. And for 30 seconds, this moment actually works. For 30 seconds, Zach is not a complete asshat. But then, the wonderfulness of this character's dialogue comes out. The Wendy girl says something about food yet again, and the moment is gone. And it blows my mind that that's the portrayal. Like, this show, for all its fun and for all the laughs it brought, it reinforced a lot of really negative stereotypes, I think. And like you said, Andrew, this show was very cruel to nerds. This show, as I described it, is nerd blackface, because you think Screech is a socially inept, frankly, social idiot, who may or may not be a high-functioning autistic. You also look at the other groups of people. They all look like Steve Urkel clones.
Oh my, that's putting it light.
Well, they're all named like Harold. Like they're all these really weird named girls. Like they're always really weird named. They always have like the Birkenstocks, the suspenders up to their nipples. Suspenders. They look ridiculous in any context you want to put them in. And it's just really negative. And anytime they feature a female girl, she always has to have these comically, vaguely racist buck teeth who look like they came out of like a 1940s Disney cartoon. These Coke bottle glasses. And this is when Tori Spelling portrayed Violet. She was portrayed as this ugly duckling sort of thing. And I get where they're kind of coming.
That was the girl who was Screech's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, who mysteriously disappeared after like four episodes and was never mentioned again.
Yeah, she was in that great Glee Club episode where with more moral sensibilities, they decide to cheat and there's no repercussions for it. They play a good Glee Club playing, and as like a way of like stalling before they have like Violet come and sing, and there's no repercussions at all. It's just played for a joke, and it's like, that's not cool.
Now, of all the people in this cast, or all the characters, so on speak, you asked us, who would we be friends with? So let's start with Maisie. Looking at everybody who's existed in the show, and you can include teachers or side characters if you wish, who do you think would actually be a friend to you, and why?
Oh, man. This whole time, I kid you not, I've been trying to think of it. I would probably not be friends with any of the guys in the show at all. Any of the like main characters. I'd probably
try... Oh, you mean the sexists?
Yeah. I would probably try to be friends with Kelly because she's so dumb. Like, she's like too dumb to be a bitch. So it's like, it's completely like my kind of person. Like, if she can't be mean, then I'm down for that. But honestly, like, side characters, I'd probably be better friends with Tori, like that tomboy that made like a few appearances. I think she was in like, I think I was reading something like 10 episodes, and she was the one, like the biker chick. I'd probably be friends with her.
All right. Andrew, what about you?
I'd probably befriend Screech and just be like, hey, these guys are real dicks. Like, maybe you shouldn't hang out with them anymore. And like, I definitely would stay as far away from Mr. Belding as possible because I fear he may try to... He oversteps his bounds at times.
I love like, Belding.
he moves in with, like, Screech in an episode where Mario... is that the buff dude's name?
A.C. No. Slater.
A.C. Slater. Oh, I'm sorry. He is, like, literally called out for being a sexist pig, and he's like, oink, oink, baby. You want to get the bacon? You'll just get it from someone else. And that's not even, like, a fake line.
Wow.
And they go to Belding, and they're like, and Belding's like, you know, this is not how we solve this. Listen to a conversation between me and my wife. And then him and his wife get in an argument, and Mr. Belding's like, screw her. I'm not going home with you guys. I'm hanging out with the boys from now on. Screw you, girls. You guys are just lame. And it's, like, probably the most sexist thing I've ever seen. And it's just Mr. Belding and all the other boys just like hanging out. Oh, it's bad.
Now, for myself, I would agree with Maisie in being friends with Kelly because she doesn't seem to have a mean bone in her body. but I would argue is easily manipulated.
So true.
Screech, I think I could be friends with, but the problem is you see the power someone like Zach has over him. I don't think he would sell you out intentionally. But if Zach were to trick him, I would say what it would likely happen. I would say Mr. Belding actually wouldn't be a bad character to befriend, because you see the rivalry he has with Zach, they respect each other. I would call them friends at the end of the series. But I think having someone like Mr. Belding in your corner may not be necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, if you're in trouble, he would help you. He's also probably the most harmless character. There are two people I wouldn't be friends with in this cast, and we'll swing around this question to you guys. I would not be friends with Jesse Spano. Here's why. And I really want to tread carefully about this, so please be aware this is my opinion. All feedback can be directed to me directly, Mike@thisweekingeek.net. But bear with me, I will explain this. She comes across as a very negative stereotype of the feminist as it was in the 1990s, where I feel she never comes across as wanting equality for everybody. And that's the modern interpretation of the word that I've been getting for the last year or so. Feminism is not we are better than you, it's everybody's on the same playing field. Problem is, with things that are going on in the media right now, such as Gamergate and all sorts of other problems, the word itself has unfortunately become tainted. But hopefully, things will come back, everything will be happy again. I think she portrays this kind of know-it-all bitchy attitude, and I don't think it did a lot of favors for that type of person who was really socially conscious in the 1990s. Because I remember in high school, people actually comparing people that were this involved in social issues as a Jesse Spano. Stop being a bitch. Or whatever. And I think the first time I learned the word feminazi stormtrooper was someone referring to someone who was like Jesse Spano. And obviously I've grown up a lot since then to learn what this word means and what the movement means. And I wonder if she was a negative stereotype in some ways. However, despite being fat, really brainy, but with a really neurotic streak in her. I don't know. There's just something about that kind of know-it-all attitude, she has to prove you wrong no matter what, I think would be a really negative trait to have in a friend. In fact, I think in the final episode, Screech beats her for valedictorian, but Screech gives it to her.
For a second, I thought it was just Screech beats her.
Yeah, like, beats her with a hammer.
What an awesome ending. Screech loses it, kills the entire Bayside crew.
And, but yeah, I mean, Screech gives it to her so she can feel good. And I'm just thinking, would she not be the better person by being served by saying, you know what, I lost fair and square. I'd rather lose by a test of my skill than winning by pity, personally. And
well, that and, like, Screech has gone through enough crap. Give him something. Like,
yeah, and honestly, I think he's the most human. Him and Kelly, I think, are the most relatable characters in a lot of ways. Another person I wouldn't be friends with is Lisa Turtle. Despite the fact that she's very loyal to her girlfriends, she's very, 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 very shallow. And to the point where it's a caricature. It really is. Because the fact that she makes fun of Screech, she makes fun of his physical appearance, she does everything she can, short of calling him, you know, frankly, it's hard not to say this word right now because I'm trying not to say it, but an effing idiot. She says everything short of that and like racial slurs, but it's clear she has this huge disdain for him. And
now I almost thought that eventually like they would hook up as like an ironic thing, but like it never happened. So I was like, oh, so she really just hates him. Like it's not like some hidden stupid storytelling trope.
Well, it's so messed up though. I mean, the fact that she's so loyal to Kelly and Jesse, and they give other people chances, and like, you know, even people like Zach and Slater are willing to give other girls or other other people chances in their social lives. Yet Lisa never budges. There are times where she'll have the pity dance with Screech, or, you know, there'll be moments where you think, okay, maybe this is turning a bend, but it never happens. And there's something about that I see as a very toxic relationship that exists within this group of friends. And as we discussed, I mean, looking at all these different characters being used at different times by Zach, you never see Slater do it. He always seems to do it as a reactionary thing. You never see him actively plan like Zach does. Kelly, we've already discussed, is too dumb to be mean. Jesse will fight with you to prove a point. Screech won't sell you out intentionally. Lisa's a bitch. Mr. Belding is a well-intentioned idiot. But, you know, he's a nice guy. Is there anybody... Oh, the Tori character. I would think she might not be bad, because you can negotiate, you can reason with her. In fact, she's actually one of the more reasonable characters who's introduced during the course of the series. Another character that no one ever talks about comes from, I think this is the third season, when they're at Malibu Sands Beach Resort, where they all happen to be working for the summer. What a coincidence. Stacy Scalero, the woman from King of Queens, or whatever it is. I can't remember her name. Stacy something, right?
Carosi?
Carosi, yeah. She is so mean and so arrogant. Like, she
her
puts
dad
Lisa
was worse.
Oh, yeah. But at least with him, if you could get a word in edgewise, you could reason with him. With her, it was just so... She was so mean. And truth be told, Kelly was way hotter. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's just one of those things, too. Or, I don't know. This show, it treated its characters so wide across the board. And this is a show that I think, for a lot of kids, this was their first true sitcom. This is something that was more developed than, say, your average cartoon that'd be airing at the time. And these guys, I think they tried to add a lot of nuance to them, because Zach, we know his dad's a computer salesman or something like that, though played by two different actors during the course of the series. Zach's mom is, who cares? I don't think, we hear Kelly has a huge family, but we never see them. Slater's dad, we know, is a major in the military. We never hear about his mom, though, that I can remember. I know Jesse's, I think someone gets married or remarried after a divorce, and I can't remember who it is. Like, whether
I think it's her dad.
Yeah. So they're trying to add depth. Screech's parents, I don't think, are ever mentioned. I'm not sure about that one, though. Lisa's dad shows up very early in season 2 when she overspends on his credit card, and I thought it was the guy from the Jeffersons. I really thought it was George Jefferson. And Mr. Belding, I think we see Becky Belding once or twice during the course of the show. Always referred to, but very rarely seen. So, over the course of the series, I think you do see the characters evolve. Some of them seem a little bit kind of out there, because for some reason, Zach scores the highest on his SATs, and it pisses off Jesse, which is, you know...
Of course.
Yeah, like...
Oh, yeah, I got halfway through that episode. Is that, like, did he not switch his SATs? Like, was that not, like, some secret plot point like that? Or was he actually just the smartest one?
He was just a really smart kid, yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's not how I expected that episode to end at all.
Yeah, like, he had really good marks. They're like, Zach, if you wanted to go to Yale, you could do that. And he's like, well, I don't want to do that. Or stuff like that. And I think you see the characters eventually becoming more mature over the course of the series. Because you see at one point, Zach joins a military program, the ROTC or something like that. And he becomes like a army cadet. And he sees the importance of true leadership. And I think some of the writers on the show must have remembered these things, despite this being a very episodic show. There are character traits that do carry through. In fact, I think you could argue season 3, the Malibu Sand seasons, had the most continuity of anything. Because if something happened in an episode where, say, Zach pisses off Stacy, or they're dating, or they're not dating, that plot thread carries through. So there are little things here and there that do start to make sense, or you see Lisa's spending habits start to change over the course of the series, or Jesse starting to throttle back on being a bitch or something like that, or Slater realizing competition isn't necessarily everything. And I think for kids watching this show, I think that that was important to how they perceived kind of media at the time, because this is a show, like, obviously there were episodes, as we mentioned, that wanted to talk to you about serious issues. I mean, there's the episode that happened during Christmas.
Can we do, like, what's your favorite serious episode? Because there are a lot of them, and I think I want to hear other people's opinions on their favorites.
Okay, mine isn't going to be funny, unfortunately, but it's a funny episode. I like the episode that dealt with the homeless girl around Christmas time, and how the Zach's family wanted to help her and her dad get back on their feet. And that's an episode that I felt was very, very, very genuine. And I kind of wonder if the writer of that episode did some serious research, or maybe had some perspective on that. And that's just an episode I really enjoyed. A serious episode that I enjoyed, and this one's funny, was the No Hope with Dope.
my favorite thing ever.
The best part about that episode is they randomly bring on the NBC president at the time, Brandon Tartikoff, I think that was his name, and says, "Hi."
And he literally, "I'm Brandon Tartikoff."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's literally just like, "Hi, I'm Brandon Tartikoff. You may remember me from such things as stuff you've never heard of." And he tries to give the kids a message, and I'm thinking, okay. And I realized they were trying to parody that ad that was really popular at the time, that whole Johnny Depp, this is your brain on drugs sort of thing. And I get that's where they were coming from. But this is NBC money. I'm pretty sure you could have got someone off, you could have got Jonathan Brandes off of Sequest DSV or something like that to, you know, come on this show. Like, they could have got somebody, is what I'm saying. Yet, I think this entire show blew its budget getting Casey Kasem in the first episode of season 2. Just
what was Casey Kasem doing?
He was dedicating something to the Max, and there was like some dance contest.
Oh my god, nice. The Max. Can we just take a second to talk about how underrated Max was?
Yeah, and he didn't appear in more than like 10 episodes.
I don't even know. He just, like, always came out with, like, the morals of all of the episodes. It was just the best.
And he was very reasonable, too. He never gave you he never gave you shitty advice, though he'd give you randomly flowers or a duck or something.
I changed my answer from before. He's totally my friend.
Now, it's funny. He's actually still performing now. He actually most recently performed on a Michael Jackson tour. And I think he did a show during the summer in Minnesota. Alfonso Roberto or something like that.
I think it's
or
Alonzo.
Ed Alonzo, that's it. So, there we go. Okay, so Maisie, what's your favorite and least favorite serious episode?
I think my favorite episode, like, I'm not sure if it would count as serious, but do you remember the one where, I think Zach is listening in on a meeting that A.C. Slater's dad and Belding were having about how he got, like, re-signed to, like, move, I think it was to Malibu or something, to go away with the army again, and that A.C. Slater had to make a choice, like, whether or not to leave. And so Zach went around telling everyone that he was sick and dying, and so they all just tried to, like, make him feel like shit so that they would, like, go, or that he would leave the school so that Zach could get with Kelly again. I don't know. I just thought that was, like, really ridiculous. But for serious episodes, I probably think that it has to be Jesse's sleeping pill. Or like
I'm
the...
so excited!
Yeah, that one. That's probably my, like least and favorite. I don't even know. It's kind of like a mix for me. The music
gotta
was
love
awful.
Gotta love caffeine pills. The caffeine
yeah.
Now, there is a line out of the unauthorized Saved by the Bell true story that aired on the Lifetime Network this year. The actor portraying Screech is reacting to Zach and Jesse playing the scene out, right? And they're doing a cold read at a table. Screech starts laughing uncontrollably. And everyone in the room is like, "Oh, that was such a good scene. You guys are such good actors." Screech loses his shit. And they all look at him and they're like, what's wrong with you? He's like, guys, it's caffeine pills, not heroin. And there's something about that line that sums up any time Saved the Bell tried to tackle a serious issue. It was either overblownly melodramatic or it was stupid to the point where it insulted your intelligence.
Yeah, but it does make great fodder for YouTube videos about inappropriate laugh tracks. Because there's one of them, and it's like, it's an episode where, like, this girl's in a wheelchair, which, like, her reveal for being in a wheelchair is she has a wheelchair that, like, the chair part looks exactly like the rest of the chairs in the cafeteria, so you don't know until she moves, like, till the wheels go. So, like, it's an actual reveal that she's in a wheelchair. And, like, when the scene happens, then breaks into a laugh track, because he's just like, oh, you're in a wheelchair? And it's, like, so hackneyed, and it's, like, so, like, how did you not notice that? You were just talking to her for, like, 5 minutes.
He's telling you, look down, douchebag. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, this is a show, it had its heart in the right place, but my God, did it mess up certain things. And although I think that kind of worked to its advantage, because to go back to the drug episode, not just the caffeine pills, but the whole when Johnny Roach shows up or whatever the hell his name is, where he smokes. I can't remember what his name was.
I really hope that's his actual name. They name him after weed.
We're talking about weed. And there's one point where I think it's Lisa goes, no way, Wastoid. I'm thinking, Jesus. That is definitely a byproduct of the late 1980s, the phrase Wastoid.
That and, like, anti-weed in general, because that's, like, nothing, like, that's, like, the thing that they don't tackle anymore because they've just accepted it as a loss. Well, they're just like, every kid's gonna get high, let's go on to something else.
Well, didn't Barbara Bush show up at one point during one of this, like, during the show's run? Or was it just Brandon Tartikoff? I can't remember, because I know there was a drinking and driving episode, too. It's, once again, consequences were pretty light for that. I mean, I think AC smashed up his father's car.
Didn't somebody die, though? I read that, like, I was reading about that episode, and apparently somebody dies in it. And I was like, is it a dream episode? Because, like, it sounds, like, pretty brutal.
Well, I remember someone's car getting smashed up.
It was AC Slater's.
Yeah, and
they were all just drinking. I think it was in Zach's house or something. Or I don't even know where. But they were all drinking, and it was like their first time getting drunk, and he decided to drive home. And I'm like, you're so dumb.
Like, oh. There are just so many points in this series where it gets kind of off the rails. Now, we've spent a lot of time bashing this. Admittedly. In fact, almost 45 minutes of bashing this. But the thing is, this show has a very loyal following. And I think for the vast majority of its run, it was a very positive show to have for kids. Because, despite some of the wonky role modeling and some of the odd character types in this show, these characters, despite all their flaws, they weren't negative. They weren't assholes truly to each other. I mean, honestly, if when shit hit the fan, I'm pretty sure these guys would all have each other's backs in some regard, right? Like, yeah.
And as we laugh at some of the weird morality choices and some of the weird ideas, those were probably the more accepted versions of these popular ideas at the time. Because we got to think of it from a concept of it being from the late 80s, early 90s. And we hadn't figured out, as a culture, we hadn't agreed on everything just quite as well as we have now. And so things like the caffeine pills episode will just seem ridiculous to us because we just wouldn't realize that, like, drugs as a thing are just a thing, like, that people can be blamed for themselves kind of thing. Anyways. Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I think it had a really positive influence on a lot of kids. I mean, I definitely enjoyed the show for what it was. Now, there were a number of spin-offs of this show. The most notable being probably Saved by the Bell, The College Years. And I say most notable because it kept the original cast for the most part, together. And they went to some fictional California university, though I can't remember what Zack Slater and Screech were all taking there. But they randomly lived with an ex-football player named Mike, who was like an ex-San Francisco 49er who was like 50 or something. He was their residence advisor, which I was at Niagara. And their relationship was entirely too familiar and definitely not professional. And then Kelly starts banging one of her professors, which is...
the really attractive one.
Yes.
Wait. Like, actually? Or just, yeah. Like, implied?
No, they were banging.
The actor's name is Patrick Fabian, and I know that just because...
Why? Why do you know that?
I enjoy him immensely. Stop it.
I'm judging you right now. You can feel it. But that series only lasted one season, like 18 episodes, I think. And I don't know why. I think by the time Saved by the Bell's run, the original Saved by the Bell run ended, I think that cast chemistry was just about done. Like, that show had just been kind of played out, which is unfortunate because I generally enjoy the chemistry between all these characters. Like, for example, Mark Paul Gosselaar is an amazingly charismatic person. And that shows through even in the Good Morning Miss Bliss episodes, which, however, did kind of hurt his career for a while. I mean, it wasn't until NYPD Blue in the late 90s or 2000 that he really shook that image. But really, really, really good chemistry. Same with Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who did, I think, 90210, I think it was. And Elizabeth Berkley, who unfortunately did Showgirls. But believe me,
the greatest movie of all time.
I was 14 years old and went through heaven and hell to rent that movie. It was worth it.
And yeah, I was about to say, and you were never the same again.
I was never the same again. Memories. Anyway, but when the series had ended and we got the two movies or made-for-television movies, like one was set in Hawaii and one was set in Vegas, where eventually Zach and Kelly do get married. Yay. They tried something called Saved by the Bell of the New Class. And this show, I could not believe how long it ran. This series ran... I'm actually going to give you an exact episode number because I cannot believe it ran this long. So the original lasted 126 episodes. This one lasted 143 across 7 seasons.
Holy crap.
With a constantly changing cast.
Yeah, wasn't Screech like the only one who stayed, or was that only for a first few seasons?
I remember he was there for a good chunk of time.
Now, what the hell was Screech doing there? Was he just like a teacher?
He was Mr. Belding's assistant, and it was very...
Assistant, eh?
And it was very heavily implied that he would take over for Mr. Belding at Bayside when he retired, which means Screech, as far as now, because my wife is a teacher, which means Screech would have had to have gone to take some kind of a major, like at a university, then go to teacher's college, and then take another course or some level in school administration. So I'd like to know why he thought being a teacher would have been a school administrator would have been his dream, because he seems like Mr. NASA to me, but I digress. Though Mr. Belding was the most consistent person across all Saved by the Bell spinoffs.
Probably, Screech was talked into it.
I couldn't believe it. And it's
he was backed into a corner and someone made him do it and he cried.
He's like, look, man, you're crazy. You're not going up in space. We're just telling you now.
He's at the NASA program. He's about to lift off.
He's like, nope, space
Zach
madness.
Comes in and like convinces him not to do it.
Although one person who I really think is the unsung hero of this franchise, and I just mentioned his name, was Mr. Belding, Dennis Haskins. This, and as I was mentioning just a few kind of minutes ago, actors that really have carried a show, Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mr. Belding were some of the best on-screen chemistry I think that series ever had.
Oh, definitely.
And that's the thing, though. This series had almost every, like, the original cast, Mario Lopez, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Lark Voorhees, Elizabeth Berkley, Dustin Diamond, and Dennis Ambisi, the original core cast, had the best chemistry of virtually any sitcom, and this will be a contentious point. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Had some of the best chemistry on screen, even compared against shows like Seinfeld, Cheers, and Friends, because they actually seemed like friends, despite the fact we've pointed out all their character flaws, but you would believe them having a conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, personally, I don't know if I'd put it that high, but I can definitely see it belonging in the same pantheon.
Yeah.
The cast did really work well together as a whole, and they did seem to have a good chemistry, and you kind of, like, believe that they were people who would be talking. I don't know. It's a good point you bring up.
Yeah, because it's one of those sitcoms that I think it's one of those big sitcoms that no one thinks about, but when I think of sitcom casts, they're right up there. They're definitely in my top 10.
Well, look at Community. Community took a lot from this show. Almost like Screech and Abed have like a crazy amount of stuff in common.
Man, I would love to see a crossover episode.
Oh, they would totally. They could totally do it.
Well,
too.
NBC owns Saved by the Bell. They own Community, don't they?
Technically, it's with Yahoo now.
But the possibility is there. And it's not like Dustin Diamond is doing a lot right now.
I think the only one that's doing anything is Mario Lopez.
Yeah, he's like I think he's like on E! Or something like that.
He's on like Dancing with the Stars. He's on everything. He's like an MC for a lot of shows.
And he's got a lot of natural charisma too. Like, he's a natural presenter. And I really enjoy that about him. Seems like he's a generally bubbly, fun guy.
Permanent baby face.
Yeah, he's aged really well. I think the person who's aged the best out of this cast, I think Tiffany Amber Thiessen has aged amazingly. She, like, I want to know how old she is. I'm just going to very quickly look that up. Who else do you think has aged well?
Yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen does seem to have aged pretty well.
For 40 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really, really impressed. I mean, she's still really, really, really pretty. Actually, I think TMZ caught up with her last year asking her about Saved by the Bell. You can still see the Kelly Kapowski smile in her.
I think Mark Paul Gosselaar has aged fairly well. Like, he looks like a grown man, and it's scary kind of looking at him, because, like, you can definitely, like, see Zach in him, but like, he's older and like, he's seen some shit.
Zach Morris, post-traumatic stress syndrome. He's seen some shit. That's terrible. The person who, and I really hate to say this, is that I don't like to pick on people's appearances. Lark Voorhees has not aged well, and I think the problem with her is some of the more recent photos that I've seen of her, it looks like there may have been some botched plastic surgery. And there are...
Yep. Yeah, that poor woman.
There is also some probability. It was discussed back in November of 2012 that Lark Voorhees may have mental issues. There's possible she might be bipolar, much like I am. And Dustin Diamond is quoted as saying she would stare into space and it wasn't the Lark that he knew. And evidently...
So maybe... it's interesting, the character that was the most mean to Screech is in reality the most like him.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. And evidently she gives really incoherent interviews. She's not very good at it. Evidently, according to her book, True Light, almost commas happen after almost every word. I'd like to find this book. I'm really, really, really curious.
I wouldn't be able to read it.
I would love to try it and be a dramatic reading of it.
yeah, about it.
I am a terrible person. I'm trying to think of who else. Dennis Haskins has, he's aging. He's gotten a little bit bigger, but you can still tell he's still got that like Mr. Belding kind of friendliness. I see him doing a lot of charity work, actually. I think he does some kind of a charity golf tournament with Playboy. He does a lot of interviews still. He's actually responded to me on Twitter a few times. Now, he was actually going to be on this show because I was going to email his agent and try and get a 5-minute kind of quote out of him. But I've learned something very important over the 7 years I've done this show. Don't interview your heroes. It's not that they will always disappoint you, but it will change the perception of how you view these people. And I think I'd rather have the Dennis Haskins as Mr. Belding in my mind as opposed to something else. And I don't know whether that makes me a coward or not. It's just not something I'd rather have in my life.
Understandable. I think Elizabeth Berkley has aged fairly well.
I think so, too.
Aged at all.
And her career really bounced back.
Oh, that's good.
She's the exact same as Jesse Spano.
Yeah, she is 42 years old. She's been married since 2003. She is, she's awesome. I mean, I still really enjoy her work. Like I said, you should see the edition of Showgirls that I own. It comes with shot glasses and tassels, and that's all I'm really going to say. I'm not even kidding. No word of a lie.
Oh, I love Showgirls.
I really enjoy that movie for all the wrong reasons, because everybody got AIDS and shit, which is the best line out of that entire movie. Her and Gina towels. Gershon making out.
I got towels.
It's terrible, but I'm really glad she's doing well. You like see her do little bit parts here and there. I'm trying to think of what else she's done. Evidently,
she's a dancer in the ballet.
Yes, she was on Dancing with the Stars last year. She made it into sixth place on that show, which is astounding. And I think that's pretty much the Dustin Diamond. He still looks like Screech. And
he came to my college.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't end up seeing him, though. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. But he did come to Mohawk College. He was on, like, a tour or something like that.
I was supposed to interview him in Niagara Falls back in 2006, I think, or 2007. The interview never happened, which is really unfortunate. Because that's when the time he was having a lot of financial trouble. And they were trying to save... There was a website. It was called Save Screech's House or something like that.
Oh, and that's so sad.
It was. And it seems to me like he's had the most problems coming off the show. Because he hasn't done a lot.
And he would probably be the most typecast. Because he was the character who was, like, the most, like, recognizable as kind of, like, an original idea, almost. Like, the other ones are just playing variations on very kind of, like, well-known character tropes. And he is to an extent, but, like, he's one of those characters that, like, people you don't see as anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know he does a lot of reality TV. He's done celebrity boxing, celebrity wrestling. He was on Big Brother, Celebrity Fit Club. Now, one of the things that I was terrified to learn as I was a wee lad a couple years ago is that there's a Screech sex tape out there. Saved by the Smell.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. It is horrifying, as you may imagine. Screech with multiple partners. And I can't say anymore without getting downright, frankly. This will be our one F-bomb. It's pretty fucked up. That's all I can say about it. I think I killed Roebuck, Maisie.
I was trying to figure out, because I could have swore a couple years ago I heard that he had a drug addiction. And I was trying to find that on Wikipedia, and all it says is sex tape. And as soon as I saw it, you said it, like, the words, like, echoed into the... the abyss and all.
Sex tape.
It was awful. It's just awful. Saved by the Smell.
Yep. Screech. Now, I can honestly say I've now seen Screech's junk. Ed Roebuck is still laughing. That's hilarious. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of sad because I think Dustin Diamond, he honestly was a very funny guy on that show. And he had, like, the way he was written and the way he physically performed his roles, I thought he was funny as hell. And even to this day, I think he's pretty funny. Now, his stand-up comedian stuff, I've seen clips on YouTube. Maybe not his best material, unfortunately. Which is really sad, because I think he's a... I honestly think in some way, he deserved a little bit better than what he got after the show. I'm probably very much alone in thinking that. But you know what? It is what it is, and Hollywood sometimes chews people up and spits them out. For example, according to the book Behind the Bell and the unauthorized Saved by the Bell story that was on Lifetime, evidently he was treated pretty badly on set. Like, constantly ignored by everybody. Everybody was getting laid and he wasn't. The one time he did, he got in a lot of trouble for it because it was with some fan on a mall tour. Which, that's another thing too. Think about this. This franchise was popular enough to warrant a mall tour.
A mall tour.
Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I remember them doing stuff like this, where they'd bring out casts of shows. They'd show up at, like, say, the Eaton Center, sign autographs, and hang out with people for a little bit. And you wouldn't see that now. I think the most recent show that maybe did it might have been Lizzie McGuire or like Hannah Montana, maybe, before she went nuts. I'm sorry, Miley Cyrus, you're hot, but you are a hot mess as well. Anyway, so I guess, guys, in conclusion here, what do we have to say about Saved by the Bell? Like I said, 25 years later.
Oh, man, it's worth a watch. It's worth revisiting because it is equal parts hilarious and amazing and at parts even heartwarming and charming. It's definitely one of those sitcoms that you will want to rewatch from your childhood just so you can remember it and you can have conversations for hours regarding the inner ins and outs of this crazy show.
And Maisie, what about you?
I would definitely agree that it is both, like, it's so nostalgic. Like, if you watched it like we did, like, growing up kind of deal, like, it's so worth, like, going back to watch because it's so cringeworthy now. It's, like, it's, I don't know, it's still heartwarming and cringeworthy at the same time. And, I don't know, like, personally, I honestly think that they should have just stopped at the college years because it was so good before that.
For myself, I think these two have absolutely kind of hit it on the head. It's one of those shows. It's nostalgic, it's memorable in just the right way, especially if you have a connection to the show. Now, I'm pretty sure that, I think the Fine Brothers have done a video where kids react to Saved by the Bell or something like that.
Yeah, and it has Macy Williams, who is Arya Stark on Game of Thrones, which is just like an added level of weirdness.
So I don't know how well kids today would respond to the huge Zach Morris phone, but it's one of those shows where if I ever have children, I might actually show them this and say, this is kind of what it was like growing up for me. It's funny. It's got a lot of heart to it, despite it being, frankly, goofy at times. And I would like to show them people like Mr. Belding. I really do. Like I said, I really admire that character. And if my kids took on any traits, I'd like for them to be that good-natured about something. So I guess, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for the topic show for the month of September in October. Now, coming up on the site in just a little over 2 weeks, I will be recording the topic show for the month of October with the angry video game nerd himself, James Rolfe, and ScottyDoo32. We're going to be talking about the Aliens franchise, with Alien Isolation just hitting store shelves today. because this episode will be up before midnight. Ha ha! I'm actually going to play that as soon as we're done. So that's what we'll have on the site next for the next big topic show. Also, as always, Nerd News Network. Me and Blair are still working on a review show, which should be out, I'm hoping, by the weekend, if everything works out right, because it's the Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, so what better way to spend money you inevitably milk out of your relatives this weekend? And in the month of November, I think our topic show is actually going to be Twin Peaks, as suggested by Andrew Roebuck. I've never seen this series, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about it, especially since I'm a huge X-Files fan. I should appreciate it, because I think David Duchovny plays a cross-dressing FBI agent.
Oh, man, I'm sad you already know that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, guys, I hope we will see you at the max. Hopefully you get the class on time. And as I said during Saved by the Smell. Anyway, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Andrew, Saved by the Smell, Roebuck.
Oh, God.
Still just Maisie Bones.
I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and go Bayside!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not a join... Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.